Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this sixth Sunday of Easter and Mother's Day. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. John and talk about remaining in God's love. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
Take a swing for a good cause on Saturday, May 16th at the OLCC Golf Tournament at Oso Beach Municipal Golf Course, 5801 South Alameda. Proceeds benefit Our Lady of Corpus Christi. Your entry fee includes green fees, cart, and lunch afterward. For further details, call Al Lujan, 361-215-8173.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. And you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
And I hope all of the mothers out there can say the same. And maybe you've had a little treat this morning with a breakfast in bed or something like that.
Joyous day. It's a joyous day for so many of those special women in our lives.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone, to all the mothers out there and the ladies.
Yes, thank you. We have a wonderful gospel again this morning from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is my commandment, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, I found in this Gospel so many phrases that we hear throughout the year. You know, as I have loved you, love one another, and of course we think about the commandments. But he's really giving a challenge and some expectations to his disciples.
Right. And of course, one of the things I think to point out for us is that, as Jesus said in the gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that he is what we have been waiting for, what the world was waiting for and looking for, the Messiah, the Redeemer. And so everything is in him. And of course, our theology teaches us that he is the final revelation. I mean, there's nothing more. Obviously, the Holy Spirit continues to work, but if you look at it, what may appear to be a new teaching is not a new teaching, but a new explanation of something that we've had. So Jesus is the final Word of God, the final revelation of God. So we have to always look at him, and in that we can see the gift that Jesus is when he says that everything I have heard from my Father I have now given to you. So that is why in him is everything. Everything's there. And this is why the Second Vatican Council, which I've quoted several times on our program before, is that told us that Jesus reveals the human person to themselves. In other words, in him we find who we are and who we are called to be. Who we are, in the sense he is that fullness of humanity and divinity, but he is the fullness of our humanity. And so living in him, he reveals to us who we are called to be as children of God. And so it's all there. And mm-hmm. so it's this idea of remaining in him.
Mm-hmm. And it continues this Easter message while we have been in, you know, the Easter season until the next couple of weeks when we celebrate Pentecost about
joyous. Exactly, because the fullness of Christ is not until he's risen from the dead. And so he shows to us, even in that whole movement of his passion, death, and resurrection, that if we die with him, as St. Paul says, we will rise with him. So the sorrows of life, the disappointments of life, the mistakes that we make in life, the sins that we commit in life, they're redeemable. And that is the beauty of, and really the cause of our joy, is that we may be sinners, but we are redeemed sinners. We have that hope. And so Christ, in rising from the dead, breaks the bond that death and evil has on the human person. That whenever there is death in our life, whenever there is sin or evil that presents itself into our life, and even if we cooperate it, we can be redeemed. We are redeemed through the forgiveness of Christ. And so this is the beauty of Easter, which, as you say, right. continues.
Right, it does. And you mentioned the forgiveness, and that's all about his love for us.
Right.
And the charity. Right. I was looking at the Catechism, and, you know, they had, I thought that there was a definition in there that said that charity was the theological virtue by which we love God above all things for his own sake and our neighbors as ourselves for the love of God. And I thought that was a wonderful explanation
right.
of what charity is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, because charity is the gift of self. It's the wishing of good for the other. It's not self-seeking. It's not, right. as St. Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians, in the 13th chapter, it's patient, it's kind, it's not self-seeking, it doesn't gloat over other people's mistakes, etc. So it is selfless. It is the giving of oneself. And the ultimate love, as we see in the gospel today, as I have loved you, which is on the cross, which is that total gift of self, as I have done this. And of course, this is just prior to the crucifixion, the death, that Jesus is pouring out his life as a self-gift. If you listen to one of the canons or the Eucharistic prayers in the Mass, it was an offering that he freely accepted, that he freely gave himself to. So that is the ultimate love. No greater love has anyone than to give their life freely for their fellow man or woman. But so the charity, we can only understand charity really in the fullest expression through that act of Christ. And so it is an obedience to the Father. So it's an act of charity for the Father, because it was the will of the Father that he give his life for us. And it's charity to us, because it's our redemption, it's our forgiveness, it's everything. So the gift of himself is the one act of redemption for us, and the call to us to live in the same way, to abide in that same love, mm-hmm. to live that love that we've received, but also to express that love to others, to God and to others as well.
To give back.
Right.
To give back in so many ways. Yeah. So it's almost like Jesus makes charity the new commandment.
It is. He calls it the new commandment, but he also calls it my commandment. Right. So it's a very personal thing for him. And again, we have to remember the words, I'm giving to you everything that I have received from the Father. So that call to charity, this is my commandment to love one another, which means a mutuality of love, not just, and this is also a commandment, as I think we've talked about maybe last year, but that it's of the three commandments to love God, love our neighbor, and then love one another, where that love becomes mutual. And if we notice in this passage, he's speaking of that love, the love that we should have for one another, to not only give, but also to be able to receive. And there, I think, is where we come to that word remain. And it's such a powerful word. In other versions of the scripture or the gospels, other translations, it's the word is abide. And, you know, I when I see these words or these different passages, which you find abide a lot in the first letter of St. John, I recall seminary courses where we would spend weeks on the word abide or remain.
And like diagramming it and pulling it apart as to what
yes,
it would actually
mean.
Yes,
and going through the Hebrew, the Greek, different cultures and what that word actually means. Because, you know, sometimes as is the case, we read the gospel and we read it from an American mentality with an American translation, with an American mind of what does it mean to remain? Well, it probably means stay back and don't go where you want to go.
That would be the Webster's Dictionary definition.
But the depth of this meaning is to stay with, spend time with, waste time with, remain in, because the word is remain in me.
Right.
Remain in my love, not just remaining back on your own, but remaining as a personal encounter. So it might be good if we could for a moment just to look at how we remain. You know, how we might say, well, what does that mean to remain in his love? Well, if we follow it through, you know, you will remain in my love if you keep my commandments. So there's a condition on it. And those commandments, of course, are everything that Jesus said, everything that he taught us. So it's really his teaching, but more than his teaching, it's his very self. I think the one thing that it's, and we can look at some of those perhaps after the break, but before we do that, just one thing that it's not, and I think it's to dispel that first sense that most people would probably have, is that this is something mystical. I don't know if you've ever been in Rome in the church where St. Teresa, Bernini's statue of St. Teresa of Avila in ecstasy. It's a gorgeous statue. And it's from one of her, what's from her her writings. But the way she described her being pierced by God's love. And you could just see she's totally wrapped in this love and the spears and there's angels and this is the image that she had and describes. And so he took that and he created this beautiful marble sculpture. And I think many people think, well, that's the height of remaining in his love or abiding in his love is to have this extra body, extra corporal experience, you know, to be in such a mystical state that nothing can touch you. And there are probably very few people do have those experiences. Mm-hmm. Those are very, very special graces. And I say that in the sense they are special, but they're also very unique and they're not too many of them.
I was about to say, and for the rest of us that don't have that.
Right. So that is one where right. We could say that remaining in or contemplation, you know, where the senses are kind of lead us to a point and then God's grace takes over. And that's what contemplation is where we are, it's less our senses in forcing that kind of a love of God, but where God takes over and calls us to himself. And that is certainly part of it, but that's not the only one. And we can look at maybe some of those others after the break.
And I think of remaining present.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are going to take a short break, so please stay with us and we will be right back.
The 2015 Jamaica, sponsored by Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Santo Niño de Atocha Mission, will be filled with activity for 2 days, April 24th and 25th, at the Jim Wells County Fairgrounds in Alice. Sign up for the Saturday roping events begins at 6 p.m. on Friday. A sanctioned cook-off begins at 11 a.m. on Saturday. Attendees will be treated to loads of games, great food, roping events, and live music by a number of area artists, including Palominos. And best of all, admission is free. For more complete information, call the parish office, 361-664-2953.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, we're continuing our conversation with Bishop. Remain doesn't mean just to stay back.
It's an active, you know, verb. It's not something just passive, just to remain somewhere and by yourself, but really to be involved in, to mm-hmm. abide in his love. So, and then we mentioned that it's not only a mystical experience. I would qualify that because as we look at these other ways of staying in contact, because what it means it really is, as you said, to be in contact with. It's like a friend, you know, you you have a very good friend and you want to be in contact with that person. And that's part of that remaining, the experience of remaining. And so it has to be an awareness within us. I think many times, you know, as Christians, as people of faith, we become a bit passive. And this is something that this issue of religious freedom with the call of the church to the year of faith and the new evangelization, all of that, if you look at it collectively, it's a call to not be passive. It's a call not to be comfortable where we are. It's just something new. And so we have to have a certain mystical orientation within us. In other words, not only in the vertical experience of God, as I mentioned that beautiful statue of St. Teresa of Avila in Rome, of having that just totally absorbed experience in God, but also to have that kind of mystical eye of where is Christ today, so that we can be in contact with him, so that we can experience that remaining in him. And if I could just mention a few, I think prayer, of course, is right. Certainly one that Jesus oftentimes withdrew. We see him withdrawing from the crowds, withdrawing with his disciples, but to be in communion with the Father. For us, of course, it's the Eucharist. I mean, and all of the sacraments, that the sacraments are not empty rituals, but with the Holy Spirit, they are lively and alive encounters with the risen Christ. But that takes an eye of faith. It takes a mystical eye, if you might say it that way. And I mean mystical in the sense of seeing beyond what just appears in front of me, so that it's not bread, it's the body of Christ. It's not wine, it's the blood of Christ. It's not just healthy suggestions in his word, but it is the presence of God in his word. But that takes faith. That takes that mystical eye to look beyond that. So I think the encounter through the Eucharist, and again, there is a beautiful way to spend time withdraw with the Eucharist in front of the Blessed Sacrament with adoration, a quiet moment after Holy Communion, just bowing our heads with all the commotion that goes on around us, but trying to shut out those distractions for a while and just spend time with him in the Eucharist, taking his word and spending time with that word, with his word, and abide with his word. The other is in the neighbor. Whatever you do, the least you've done to me. How many times Jesus reached out to the sinful woman, the child that was ill, the only child of a father or mother, the leper who just asked for help, or the person who wanted to be healed in the pool of Siloam and no one to take. So he saw that presence of God in all these people. Why shouldn't it be for the same for us? As I said at the beginning, that if Christ is the fullness and the final word of revelation, then what he did is for us as well.
And so for us to, we're supposed to look at every person as Jesus, but look people in the eye and not look away, but to extend our hand to help.
Sure. I mean, it's because it's Christ. I mean, this is the mystical side. If we have the faith to believe that it is Christ in the Eucharist, if we have the faith to believe that it is Christ in his word, then we should ask for, if we don't have it, the same faith that he is present in every neighbor, especially in the poor and the neglected, etc., that he is present. Whatever you do, the least you've done to me. Those are his words. Right. Abide in my word. And finally, I would say also in the church, in the ministers of the church, but also in the teaching of the church. I mean, there's an abiding there that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, I'll send you the Holy Spirit who will be with you always to remind you of what I've said. So the church is that vessel of the Holy Spirit where the teaching of Christ continues through the church. But again, it has to have that mystical eye of faith in order to see that. So I would say in some ways, these are points of contact where we can abide with Christ and find Christ all day long.
Right. I was thinking about when you were talking about the Eucharist last weekend in my parish. We had several the first communions.
Oh yes,
And I love that Sunday because it's a wonderful opportunity for us to see those young people
right.
and to hear the homily again about spiritual nourishment.
Yeah.
We have food for nourishment of our body, and the Eucharist is our spiritual nourishment.
Right.
And it's a beautiful, wonderful
sure.
thing to say.
Sure.
It's almost
sure.
like we're going. I felt like I was going through it again.
Yes. Right. Right.
Many,
right.
many years
right.
later. But
well, we have to have that same innocent heart to listen to the Word every. All the time,
that's
but
right.
that's great.
That's right.
I think what's beautiful in the next then sentence after Jesus says that just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love, so I ask you to do the same. And then He says, I've told you this. Why? So that you'd be good people? Yes. But I've told you this, He says, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I find that sentence so relevant today when everyone is looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Isn't there a song or something?
Yes,
looking
is.
For love in all the wrong places.
Or something. That's right.
I think people are looking for joy in all the wrong places, and looking for happiness in all the wrong places. It's right here. Again, not removing ourselves from the world at all, not having those high mystical experiences, but just seeing Christ in our neighbor, living the life of the church, finding Christ in the Eucharist and the Word. I mean, we're in contact with, and that is our joy. You know, it dawned on me through this Easter season again that there are only two gifts that Jesus really left us, besides the Eucharist, of course, but I mean spiritual gifts, and that is joy and peace. Isn't that what the world's looking for?
Right.
Isn't that what every human being is looking for? They're looking for an inner joy, which means an integrated self, a complete self, a satisfied, harmonious self, person, and peace, where there is not, where's that harmony with self, but harmony with God. So joy and peace are the two gifts that Jesus really leaves with us if we follow Him.
Right.
And we can, you know, I think we all kind of struggle, what's this all about? Why am I doing all this? But I think the answer is here. He's appeared always with the apostles after the resurrection, saying, peace be with you, and also my joy, so that my joy will be in you.
And I believe that we can see that. I can see that in people who are truly at joy with
right.
in peace with God
right. yeah.
and have found Him.
Right, yeah.
There's a different look on their face.
Sure, there's an attraction.
Yes.
Sure, absolutely.
Very
yeah,
much so.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you about one of the last sentences, he said, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master's doing. I've called you friends. So he's really kind of turning around the relationship that Jesus yeah. has with his disciples.
Right. And of course, slaves would not be in the sense that we would think of it. A pure slave at that time would have no name, no title, no nothing. I mean, it was like a no person. But Jesus is bringing it to the next level. I don't call you slaves. But that was a reference to another type of title, which would be a higher honor, and that is a slave of God.
Mm-hmm.
But even a slave of God is doing what God wants without really the intimacy
Just because you're
that,
being told.
Because you're being told. But Jesus is taking it to the next level. I don't even call you the slaves of God. I call you my friends.
Mm.
Because a slave, although obedient to God, in love with God, and God, but doesn't know what the master is doing. But I want you to be in this intimacy of relationship, and so I call you friends because I've given to you, and there it is right there, the words, because I'm giving to you everything I have heard from my Father. And so it's gift. Everything that He has received is gift so that we can be His, through this friendship, this contact with Him, we remain in Him and His joy in us and that joy of ours complete to give to others. And I know we're getting toward the end, and I would say, what better examples do each of us have than in our own mothers?
Isn't that true? How appropriate that it fell on this day.
Right, that commandment, and I think actually it does every year, there's something about love because it's always during the season.
Right.
But you're right, a good observation, that the first contact we really have with experienced love is through our mothers and our fathers. But mm-hmm. today we think of our mothers in a very special way. And what joy, I'm sure, was in their lives and in their hearts and their eyes as they looked at us as little babies. I was out visiting the Ark the other day and all those little children there, and just the eyes, you know.
It's a beautiful place.
The eyes of those innocent little children just looking up at you. Mm-hmm. And you think of it as a mother looking at that child for the first time. What joy there must be. And that joy then becomes contagious. So I would say welcome to this great Sunday, and thank you to our mothers for being that love for us and sharing your joy with us over our lifetime, and continue to do so.
And
so God bless each of our mothers.
Happy Mother's Day to any special women out there.
Exactly.
That have helped us through our lives.
Sure.
So, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing, please.
Grant, Almighty God, that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy, which we keep in honor of the risen Lord, and what we relive in remembrance we may always hold to in what we do. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless all of you, and especially our mothers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this special day. Have a wonderful day and a blessed week, and happy Mother's Day.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.